got nothing else to be happy about. You can be happy that you have a living Savior. You can be happy that He made a way for you and that we all live because He lives. And the title of my message this morning is Out of dot, 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 into dot, dot, dot. And so if you have a device, you can pull it out only to take notes. And I want you to write that down. Out of dot, 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 into. And as we're going through the message this morning, I'd love for you to receive a word for each of those dots. What is it that you've been delivered out of? And what is it that He's setting you into? Because He didn't stay on the cross, which is the out of part. It was the cross that delivered me out of whatever it is for you. Mine will be different to yours. It doesn't end there because He also then set me into. And that's what Easter Sunday is all about, is the second part of that statement, is that I didn't just stay forgiven, I was also set into new life. I also now have something to live for. In my life, the mantra that I've carried around is the fact that I was ransomed. My God paid a price for me, and then I was commissioned. I was not just ransomed, and too many Christians are stuck at the cross. But He also commissioned us on Easter Sunday. He said, I'm not just the crucified Lamb of God for your sin. I'm also the resurrected Savior for the life that I'm commissioning you into. Out of, into. And so we're going to read an account of someone in Scripture who embodies all of us in this room. All of us came to Jesus in desperate need. All of us. It doesn't matter whether you grew up under the seat in church or whether you spent 10 years with the bikies. All of us came to Jesus in the same state. All of us need a Savior. And so the Gospel of John talks about this person that I'd love for us to read about, and then we'll get into the Word. Can we put those passages up on the screen? John 20, I think. Here we go. Now on the first day of the week, this is Good Sunday, Resurrection Sunday after Good Friday. It is a great Sunday. And now on the first day of the week, the day we're remembering today, Mary Magdalene, can you say Mary Magdalene? Came to the tomb early while it was still dark. You know, just recently we've been talking about how it's getting darker in the mornings and we get up at 5 a.m. And last night Jared and I were talking about, do we put dimmers on the lights? Because when you turn the lights on, it feels like a hospital room and not moody for reading scripture and praying. And Maya's like, you know, Mum, no one gets up before the sun. Like, no one has to have these conversations except you. That's why there's no dimmer on the... While it was still dark, and she saw that the stone from the tomb had been removed, lifted out of the groove across the entrance of the tomb. We'll move on. Now, there are other passages that talk about, and in John, I'm skipping to verse 11 here, but they tell us that it wasn't just Mary there. Actually, John and Peter were there too. And when John writes about it, he brags that he actually beat Peter to the tomb. And he kind of totally big notes himself. You should read it. It's hilarious. And it says that the two men, John and Peter, walked into the tomb and found it empty. And they met an angel there. And the angel said the famous words, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" And so they go running back to tell the disciples. But Mary, verse 11, remains standing outside the tomb, sobbing. Like these ones standing here this morning. Sobbing. She remained outside the tomb sobbing. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels sitting there in white, at the end, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, "Why are you sobbing?" And she told them, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." On saying this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know or recognize that it was Jesus. Amazing that we can be looking straight at him and not recognize him. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying so? For whom are you looking?" And supposing that it was the gardener, she replied, I don't know if there are any women in the room who are so beside themselves with tears that you literally like mistake people for like a gardener, but there we go. She replied, "Sir, if you've carried him away from here, tell me where you've put him and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, insert your name there, Mary. At this, turning, and she said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher or master. I want to tell you, when Jesus says your name, it rings different. When Jesus says your name, you know who's calling. Suddenly, you are lucid and aware. When Jesus says your name, Rabboni, she says. And he said, don't cling to me, don't hold on to me, for I have not ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Away came Mary Magdalene, bringing the disciples the news and the word that she'd seen the Lord and that he'd said these things to her. I don't know if you're like me. Whether you have a story, whether you recognize your desperate need for Jesus, whether there are some seasons in your life you'd prefer to erase and blot out. I don't know whether you're like me and when Jesus looks at you, you know he sees everything. When Jesus looks at you, they're not eyes of judgment, but they are eyes that both expose you and cover you all at the same time. I don't know if there's anyone like that in the room. And the cross was a beautiful moment. Mary Magdalene was there. In fact, it tells us that after hordes of people loved Jesus for providing lunch for them, after hordes of people loved Jesus for healing them, after hordes of Jesus laid down palm branches and sung his praises, there were only two or three people left at the foot of the cross, and one of them was Mary. I often ask myself, where would I be in that last week of the cross, if Passion Week? Which one of the characters would I be? Would I have been Caiaphas, the leading priest who encouraged all of Israel to crucify this man? Would I have been a zealot like Caiaphas? Would I have been like the Roman centurion who killed him and realized too late what I'd done? Would I have been Mary, one of the last two or three? Or would I have been like everyone else, forgetting about Jesus and moving on with life? Maybe running like the disciples did and hiding. Maybe denying Jesus. But it tells us that Mary was at the foot of the cross. And that her and the mother of Jesus, also Mary, were watching in the shadows as they pulled his body down. She knew exactly where they laid him because she was following in the shadows. She didn't leave him. She didn't leave him. And can I tell you why? Because it was only months, possibly a couple of years earlier, that this Jesus rescued her. It tells us in the Gospel of Luke that there were a group of people who followed Jesus around. And Luke 8, it tells us that Jesus went through the towns and villages preaching and bringing good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God, and the 12 apostles were with him. And also some of the women who had been cured of evil spirits, one of them, Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had been expelled. Her name, Mary Magdalene, tells us a little bit more about who she is. because Magdala was actually a place on the sea, the southwest coast of the Sea of Galilee, known for prostitution. She was a demon-possessed adulteress who came to Jesus and he looked at her without judgment. He looked at her with the ability to heal her and restore her. The last person who should have been anywhere near a rabbi came close and he loved her. And scholars have tried to join dots, and unfortunately, none of our scholars were there. But some people suggest she was the woman caught in the act of adultery, hurled before Jesus by the religious leaders, saying, what are you going to do with her? Because you know that every layer of society and culture demands judgment on this act. And he did not. He looked at all of those accusers and said, well, if you haven't sinned, go ahead and pass judgment. And they all turned away. And she was left at his feet. Can I show you a photo of how she found Jesus? That's how I found Jesus. Anyone else? Give me a wave if you found Jesus like this. The whole world wanting to throw stones. He was the only one who didn't. And the only one who could have. Another photo. That's how I found Jesus. And the most famous one, taken from the Passion of the Christ movie by beautiful Australian photographer Ken Duncan. If we're honest, if we're humble enough, we will admit we all found Jesus like that. We all found Jesus like that. And so she called him Rabboni. Rabboni means teacher. And as typical Jesus would, did what he should not ever have done, and that is teach women. In those days, a rabbi would not be anywhere near a sinful, demon-possessed woman. A rabbi would not be teaching a woman. But when he said her name, she said, Rabboni. The one who drew her near, discipled her, loved her, kept her close, and she did not leave his side when most others did. And that's what Good Friday is all about. Here's this woman, the one person who has restored her and loved her and forgiven her, is battered and bruised and lifeless on a cross. Saturday, they call it Silent Saturday. We sung about it this morning. Saturday was silent. Surely it was through. Well, it wasn't, except she didn't know that. First thing in the morning, because it was Sabbath on Saturday, she wasn't allowed to do anything on Saturday. First thing on Sunday morning, the first thing she does before the sun's up is goes to the tomb to find her Rabboni. Grief-stricken. What do I do with my life now? What does any of this mean now? And she finds an empty tomb. And the two show pony disciples come running in, having a race. You know, they find that he's not there. They chat with the angels. They run off. She's still sobbing. Sometimes we need to linger longer. Sometimes we need to not rush off. Sometimes we need to stay and take a moment. In that tank just now, I said to nearly each one, take a moment. Take a moment. Don't rush this. She lingered, she stayed, and she saw him. I think it's remarkable that the first person Jesus revealed himself to was Mary Magdalene. The first person in all of history who saw the resurrected Christ. was a demon-possessed prostitute. The first person trusted to be a witness of what it is to be set into new life was the most unlikely of all people. I wonder if you can relate. People often tell me, Carolina, you look so confident. Do you even need encouragement? I'm like, well, I've admitted I have a communication gift and I'm unashamedly in love with Jesus. Other than that, I definitely think he should have picked someone else and I'm the last person who should be doing this. Because we all find ourselves in a place, if we're honest, that we are not deserving. But he gives it to us anyway. He loves us anyway. He sets us into anyway. And I personally, just like some of you, found myself in turmoil and pain, only to say that I was delivered from my past by a God of unrelenting love. She was a desperate soul. She was broken. She had shame and isolation and estrangement. But he delivered her from all of the torment that she'd known her whole life, and he became a teacher. And we know for sure that she witnessed most of the things around the crucifixion. She was the first to speak with Jesus, and that she was sent by Jesus to the others with the most critical message of the gospel. Without Sunday, we have nothing. Without Sunday, he's just another really good, really dead guy. And so the foundational principles this morning is that an occupied cross saves us out of death and an empty tomb sets us into life. And so what is this occupied cross all about? Well, it's the payment of sin. And sin is the wrongdoing by God's standards. Sin is missing the mark. And all of us have wandered away. We've all missed the mark. All of us. Some of us really intentionally, others of us unintentionally. But the point is, we've missed the mark. We've all fallen short. And that falling short has separated us from God. But Jesus himself comes and he restores that by paying the price of our sin. Standing in the gap to pay a price you and I could never pay with his own life, because the wages of sin is death. Someone had to pay the price and he didn't want it to be you. And so he paid it. And so we're rescued out of that sin. And it tells us in Ephesians that we die with him. That we die with him. We were once dead in our sin, and then he restores us. He restores us. And Mary Magdalene knew firsthand what that was like. She listened, she learned. And the priests and the leaders of religion could tolerate almost everything except when he would offer forgiveness, because only God could do that. And here's this poser, according to them, assuming to be able to give forgiveness. And they burned with anger and eventually murdered him. Beaten, mocked, and crucified, he was not only a man but God in flesh. You cannot nail the creator to creation, to wood, unless he chooses that to be so. Sacrificing himself. The cross represents your ransom and mine. The cross represents a balance paid. The cross represents your freedom, pardon, forgiveness, healing, restoration. The cross represents all the things you can't possibly achieve or attain by human measure. The cross represents your rescue out of dot, dot, dot. Have you filled that blank in yet? Mary stood there devastated at his feet. It is finished, she heard him say. What does that mean? And just like Mary, you and I need to know that there is still more to the story. The label, the struggle, the anguish, the lifestyle, whatever it was that you were delivered from, please know today that is not the end of the story. God's plan for humanity carried over from Friday to Sunday. You were saved out of death and into life. The rescue plan was the cross. But the commission was the empty tomb. Grace isn't just the forgiveness of sin. It's also the empowerment to live free from its power. Yes, we're all wretched and ransomed, but now we're transformed from glory to glory by the grace of God, and that is the story of Easter. As we close, I'd love for you to stand to your feet. I'm going to read a long passage for us because we can get lost in a beautiful story, and I'm really good at that. I love stories. I'm a narrator. I love telling stories, but this is applicable today. And I want to read to you out of Romans 6. It's a long passage out of the Message Bible. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Jesus, a decisive end to that sin miserable life. No longer at sin's every beck and call. What we believe is this: we get included in Christ's sin conquering death. We also get included in his life saving resurrection. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him, but alive, he brings God down to us. And from now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. That means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with that old way of life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. So since we're out from under the old tyranny, does that mean we can live in any old way we want? Since we're free in the freedom of God and can do anything that comes to mind? Hardly. You know well enough from your own experience that there are some acts of so-called freedom that destroy freedom. Offer yourselves to sin, for instance, and it will be your last free act. But offer yourselves to the ways of God and the freedom never quits. All your lives, you've let sin tell you what to do, but thank God you started listening to a new master, one whose commands set you free to live openly in his freedom. I'm using this freedom language because it's easy to picture. You can readily recall, can't you, how at one time, the more you did just what you felt like doing, not caring about others, not caring about God, the worse your life became and the less freedom you had. How much different is it now that you live in God's freedom? Your lives are healed and expansive in holiness. As long as you did what you felt like doing, ignoring God, you didn't have to bother with right thinking or right living or right anything for that matter. But do you call that a free life? What did you get out of it? Nothing you're proud of now. Where did it get you? A dead end. But now, on Resurrection Sunday in 2024, you found you don't have to listen to sin tell you what to do. And you've discovered the delight of listening to God telling you what to do. And what a surprise. A whole, healed, put together life right now. And more on the way. Work hard for sin your whole life and the pension is death. But God's gift is real life, eternal life, delivered by Jesus, our Master. This morning, we're going to receive communion. I'm going to sit around the table of communion together if you want to open it, prepare your hearts, take part in communion together. That right there is the sound of freedom. The night before he was crucified, he sat around a table and broke bread and shared wine. And he said, "Do this as often as you meet together and do it in remembrance of me. This is my body. The bread you're holding, the little wafer, represents his body that was broken." He said, "Remember that." And he said, "This is my blood." That juice represents his blood. "Do this in remembrance of me, the blood that was poured out, the life that's in the blood. Do it in remembrance of me." And I can't help it. I'm a bit of an activist personality. Every time I take communion, I feel like I'm just reminding of the enemy of his defeat. Every time I take communion, I remind him of the victorious work of the cross. I remind him of how hard he tried to take me down. And I just take my communion as smug as I can. Remind him of my Savior, who didn't just die, he rose again. He didn't just ransom me, he commissioned me. And I might be the last person worthy, just like Mary was, but I'll go and tell, because actually that's all I've got. That's all I've got. And this morning on Resurrection Sunday, Lord Jesus, we take communion in remembrance of you today. Remind us today, the 31st of March on Easter Sunday, the second part of the equation. What are you commissioning us each individually and uniquely for? Let us write our own mantra that lives a life worthy of the call of Jesus. That call, because when you call our name, we know who's calling. Let us live a life worthy of the call of Jesus Christ. So as you take communion this morning, if you've been able to already, why don't you just say that statement that is true to you? I've been rescued out of and commissioned into. Fill in the blanks. Let's receive communion as the worship team leads us this morning. We love you, Lord.
I've witnessed your faithfulness. I've seen you breathe life within. So I'll pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all of it. Your promises never fail. I've got stories I'll live to tell. So I'll pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all of it. He is worthy. You left the throne and chose the cross, laid down your life to rescue us. The Savior then, the Savior now. But even death was not the end. You conquered hell so I could live. Resurrecting then, resurrecting now.
Say that again, we are victorious, come on.
Resurrecting then, resurrecting now. I've witnessed your faithfulness. I've seen you breathe life within. So I pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all of it. So I pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all of it. You're worthy and I've witnessed it.
You're strong and I've witnessed it. You're constant, I've witnessed it. And I'm confident I'll see it again. You love and I've witnessed it. You heal and I've witnessed it. You save and I've witnessed it. And I'm confident I'll see it again and again. I've witnessed it.
of and into. Out of and into. This morning, I'm not sure what part of the equation you're in. Whether you've ever said yes to Jesus to start with, and that you feel like you're still in the grave, you feel like you're still dead. Well, the story of Jesus is not so that he can make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. He didn't come for behavior modification. He became the Savior. He came to meet you where you were at, so he could come down so you didn't have to try and climb up. Have you been trying to climb? Have you been trying to make it on your own? Well, this morning, he's extending an invitation to you. Come out of and into. He says it's really simple. Here's all you have to do. Believe on Jesus. Confess that he is Lord and you will be saved. He's not asking for anything else. It's just believe. Just believe that he is Lord, that he's come to save you, that you couldn't do it yourself. Confess that he is Lord. Come out of and into. Maybe there's another group of people in here that you've said, yes, I want to follow Jesus, but you've actually still been living in the grave. You've been trying to perform CPR on things that need to stay dead. But he's saying, no, come out of and into a new life. Stop trying to resurrect old things. I'm resurrecting a new person. The old ways have gone and the new things have come. You've said yes to Jesus, but you haven't been walking in the newness of life, in the power of his Spirit this morning. And if you're in either of these camps, there's a simple invitation for you this morning. Respond. Respond to him. And it's going to come in the form of this. I'm going to ask for every eye to be closed in just a moment. Then I'm going to count down from three. And on three, I want you to shoot up your hand. I'm going to see you. We're going to get to pray together. And then we're going to ask you to have a conversation afterwards. That's it. You're in this place. You're in. You need to come out of the grave. You've never said yes to Jesus, or you've said yes and you've just not been living in the fullness of life. This morning, it's going to be a different story. As every eye is closed in this moment, just a moment of privacy. No one looking around. It's not about them. It's about you and the Lord. If that's you in this place, you need to say, yes, I believe on Jesus as my Lord and Savior. On the count of three, I want you to shoot up your hand. I'm going to see you, recognize you. You can put your hand down and then we're going to pray together. Then there's that conversation. That's you. You just need to say yes to him because he said yes to you. On the count of three, shoot up your hand. One, two, three. That's you. Shoot up your hand. I see 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 your hand. Just a moment longer. As Pastor Carolina said, just linger. That's you. You're needing feeling it. Feeling the invitation from the Spirit of God, you can still shoot up your hand. Lord Father, I thank you for every person in the room this morning, every person that may have been joining us online, but Lord, if they responded to you this morning, there may have been a hand lifted, but there may have not have been, but what matters is the heart that was open to you. The confession of, I believe on Jesus this morning. I'm coming out of and into. Coming out of the old, I'm coming out of the grave, I'm coming out of sin, out of oppression, out of condemnation, out of shame, out of guilt, into life, into peace, into joy, into his way, into his kingdom, into his word, by his Spirit. Lord, our Father, I thank you that they're not a slave to you, but you've called them a son or a daughter of God. Lord, you look at them with love. You look at them with joy, and you are in overjoyed this morning that they've said yes to you. You've been waiting. So Lord, we just honor you this morning. We pray, give them passion for your word, passion for worship, and a passion for your people. And God, this would not be the end. This is the beginning of something brand new in their lives. So we honor you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Can we honor God and honor those people this morning?
Thanks for joining us online. We pray you are blessed by today's message. If you want prayer for anything, you want to connect with us, or you made a commitment to Jesus today, we'd love to take this from a digital to a personal relationship. So reach out via the link in the description below. Be blessed. We'll see you soon.